Session number 6125, reel 12.
Mr. Hale, take 12.
I was very much a bed patient, unfortunately, for a time, on a strict diet, as is necessary when you have infected hepatitis. But we were swamped with kindness, and the Canadians used to play our requests over the radio and talk to us over the local radio. One person came in and said, I am Al and got a lot of gals and we're here for your pleasure and entertainment. And they certainly were. They really did look after us. Plenty of food to those who were able to eat it, and plenty of feminine company and entertainment generally. Of course, we had thorough medical examinations, all of us, including the people who were not hospital patients, I understand. We all had worms, and we all had to have doses of worm powder. You get the worm powder overnight, and it used to be followed up by Epsom salts hot in the morning. And anyway, they apparently rid us of those, thank goodness. And I was in that hospital, or school come hospital, for a matter of about 6 weeks, I suppose. I was able to attend the November the 11th ceremony down in the town at the War Memorial, and the prisoners of war, or repats as we were then, were privileged to lead the parade as the veterans. We were also encouraged to go into the local shops and make purchases for wives and girlfriends and any loved ones at home of items that were unobtainable in the UK. I remember there were Mars bars and nylons and or anything in the nature of sweets or tobacco, which the Canadians told us they were short. If we entered a shop for a pair of nylons and we were in the back of the queue, the Canadian women who themselves were queuing would push us ahead of the queue and say they needed it at home more than we do out here. And it was very noticeable on our journey through Canada that the Canadian women very often used to have lovely fur coats on but no stockings, because although the fur was available by the very nature of the country, nylons were then unobtainable. What they were, I believe, in the majority of cases, were sent over to the UK. After being in the hospital for about 6 weeks, we then entrained by Canadian Pacific Railway and taken across Canada till finally we reached De Burt in Nova Scotia. We were stopped in at one or two towns, some of the wayside haunts like Medicine Hat and Medicine Bow, names that had been just places to laugh at when you read a Zane Grey novel, did actually and do actually exist. There are such places, little wooden halts called Medicine Hat and Medicine Bow. We came, of course, right through the prairie states, Calgary, Alberta. I can't remember what order they came in there. We stopped over in one of the big towns. I think we stopped over in Calgary. One or two big towns, not Toronto. We didn't touch Toronto. However, we were very, very well looked after in the train. Had sleeping berths, clean sheets every night. Beautiful food dished up. But they wouldn't allow us to eat anything until we'd taken the vitamin capsules, which were all provided. We brought a lot of baggage that we'd collected en route, and we noticed a bit of a difference when we reached French Canada, on the eastern side of Canada. They weren't quite so friendly to us. And in fact, quite a bit of baggage, I believe, was stolen. I fortunately didn't lose anything, but some of the friends I was travelling with, a good number of items were lost some of the baggage trucks were broken into. However, we got to Nova Scotia at a place called De Burt, and remained in a hospital there for a day or two. We went down into the local town, and that was the occasion when we begged the Canadian drivers to really take it easy, because they tried to show off, we feel, in their big Buicks, as the cars they were taking us around in. They seemed to try and show how fast they could go, but we were really scared stiff that again that we'd come this far, and we certainly didn't want anything to hold us back in the way of an unnecessary accident. We stayed in De Burt for a very, very short time, and then were taken by train down to Halifax, and we boarded the Queen Elizabeth for our journey home to Southampton. As we pulled out from Halifax with the tugs, quite a number of repats on board, and in the short time that they were in Canada, had married Canadian girls. And someone was saying, well, we've married them, but whether we should recognise them in a few weeks' time, we really don't know. One must remember that the POW's pay was going on throughout their sojourn as POWs, and to some of the Canadian girls, I suppose they thought they were in for a good catch. They realised that three years and more of pay, because some of the people coming back were quite good-ranking people, and have quite a bit of back pay and allowances to come. So they thought we were on to a good thing, and at the repat coming home, of course, their first taste of feminine company after so many years, they were easy victims. A lot of the people were taken into the Canadian homes. When I say people, I mean repats were taken into Canadian homes, and they, when an embarkation was due, they were, appeals were broadcast every hour over the radio to the Canadian people to please release the repats to go home to their loved ones in the UK. The Canadians didn't want to let them go, and because I think the repats were quite happy to stay, at least for a time, in Canada, because they were really swamped, and we all were swamped with kindness by the Canadians, particularly in British Columbia. Victoria, they're more British out there than I found we are at home. I think I got the roughest treatment when I arrived in Southampton. Asked for a cup of tea. I was just told I had it. I was too late. And that was by the British Red Cross in Southampton. And yet, the Americans and the Canadian, and of course, right, until then, all the British and the glory in that, looked after us so well. But the British Columbia, I'd go back there tomorrow, because they were really wonderful to us. The journey over in the Queen Elizabeth was really great. One thing sticks in my memory. We brought home were brought back for service in I believe, in Germany or somewhere, a number of Canadian racks, and they had to put a guard on the racks, at quarters, an armed guard, when he could be found. The captain said that if the racks didn't behave themselves, he'd confine the ship and turn around and bring them back to Canada. But it was generally a very happy voyage, although I remember the first day out from Halifax, I understand they served 600 less dinners due to the rolling of the boat, because one of the ship's personnel told us that both the Queen Elizabeth and the Queen Mary, although they never lost time for bad weather, except for fog, they could always make up bad weather. They were terrible boats for rolling, and that I can well believe, because she certainly did roll. And we were due to dock, I think, on December the 2nd at 5 p.m. in Southampton. And, of course, we were all on top deck as we came into Southampton. We came up through the Cowes Roads, and quite a number of people, my friends, knew I came from the Isle of Wight, and they'd all told me they'd towed the Isle of Wight up to the north of Scotland. However, there it was, his largest knife. And it seemed, we seem to be so close to cows from the Queen Elizabeth, you can almost spit on shore. But we came into Southampton Harbour, and we, as I say, we were due to dock at 5 p.m. And she nudged the side at exactly 5 p.m. And there, of course, was all the bands, and they really gave us a wonderful welcome. Unfortunately, I was came over home as a hospital patient, even on the Queen Elizabeth, and the hospital patients were not let off that night. And though I could see my father and my uncle and aunt, I didn't want my mother to meet me. Although I could see them down there and could wave to them, it was some long time before the military police who were guarding the gangway would allow me off to say hello to my parents, or to my father and uncle and aunt. And the uncle and aunt saw me off when I started on December the 13th, way back in 34, and I wanted them to be there when I came back, and they were. And that really is that.
Thanks very much.
Just one thing, from Southampton, they did take us up to Shaftesbury Hospital. They gave us a quick run over, and within 24 or 48 hours, they released us with double ration cards, emergency ration cards, and said, send us on our way. They gave us a railway warrant. And that was about the first time since I joined the army that I was free on my own. I didn't, I just had myself to think about and nobody to think for me. And believe me, that was very, very frightening. In fact, I was so frightened. I was going down to Southampton to stay just overnight with the uncle and aunt who had met me. And they were going to take me over to the island to meet my mother and father again. And I was so frightened to be on my own that I had to go into the guard's van. And he put me off at Southampton and handed me over to my aunt to take care of me. And it was for some time before I could really venture on a journey on my own. But at least I did, as you will know, arrived home safely after really a journey right round the world, lasting from November the 13th, December the 13th, 1934, to the 2nd of December, 1945.
Thank you very much.